Welcome to day 186. We are up to Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. Now this first Mishnah is going to deal with the case of someone who separates Truma in piecemeal. The example that the Bar Tanura gives, because it's easy math, is imagine a person has a pile of 100 sa'a of produce. We know that Truma is generally 2%, so 2% of 100 sa'a, of course, is 2 sa'a. Now instead of separating that 2 sa'a, bevas achas, in one shot, instead, he or she first separates one sa'a now, and then intends to separate the second sa'a to complete truma later. Says the Mishnah, Hamafrish miktsas truma o maaser. One who does this, one who partially separates truma o maaser, removes that, let's say, one sa'a now, then motzi mimenu truma alav. You can separate that second sa'a, you can complete the truma from that very same pile. Now you might say, well, that's obvious. I mean, what's the chiddush here? What's the Mishnah teaching us? So, you might think that once you separated that first sa'a, you've effectively tithed half of that pile. We know that to separate the entire pile, you need 2 sa'a. So maybe if you separated 1 sa'a, you've now tithed 50% of that pile. So now 50% is considered chulin, tithe, and 50% is still untithed, is tevel. The problem is, you don't know which is which. I mean, it's all mixed together. You just know 50% is tithe and 50% is untithed. Now, we also know that when it comes to separating truma, you can only separate truma from untithed produce, from tevel. If you separate from already tithed produce, it's nothing. It doesn't work. So here's the thing. When the person goes back to separate that second sa'a, we might have to, or one might think that maybe he's actually separating from the part that is already tithe. You already separated one sa'a, so half of it's tithe. Maybe when you go back and you separate truma, you're actually separating truma from a part that's already tithe, and then it wouldn't work. So says our Mishnah, no, you don't have to worry about that for one of two reasons. Either because, very simply, no, we allow the leniency to allow you to assume that when you separate the second sa'a, you're only separating truma from the untithed portion. That is one possibility. The other possibility is more of a logical approach, which is that, well, sometimes you have so much produce that you have to separate truma in piecemeal. I mean, you couldn't possibly lift it all in one shot. So of course the halacha is that you're allowed to take a little bit of truma and then go back and take more truma and then go back and take more truma. And of course that's considered all part of one separation. So say the Mefarshim, what's the difference whether you have a little bit of time in between the separations or a much larger amount of time between the separations? It's all considered one hafresha, one separation, one tithe. And therefore, none of it's considered tithe. None of it, the entire thing is still considered untithe until all of the truma is removed. So again, either because you're allowed to safely assume that when you go back and separate the second sa'a, it is because you're separating from the untithe produce, or because none of it's considered tithe until you complete the hafresha. Either way, you're allowed to complete the hafresha from that very same pile. But, aval lo lemakam acher, but you should not rely on that leniency for another pile. Imagine you have another pile and you want to separate truma to cover that pile from this original pile that's partially tithed. The Mishnah says don't do that. Meaning we allow you to rely on the leniency when you already started in that very pile. We allow you to rely on the leniency that perhaps you're tithing from the untithed produce when you go back and separate the second sa'a. But you shouldn't rely on that leniency to cover a different pile. It's very easy. Just separate tithes from that pile. Meaning keep it internal. Just separate from that pile on its own. Don't rely on the first partially tithed pile. But Rabbi Meir, Omer, af motzi hu l'makam acher, truma maaser. No, Rabbi Meir says, once you're relying on leniency, once we halachically allow you to say that I'm separating tithes from the untithed produce, that the second sa'a that I remove must be from the untithed produce, or because it's not tithed until I separate everything, so then that's true always. You're allowed to rely on that leniency. If that's the halachic reality, then that's the halachic reality. You're allowed to separate from this pile onto other piles also, because now we assume always that when you're separating from this pile, it's from the untithed portion. So Rav Meir has a bit of consistency there. That is Mishnah Aleph. Now Mishnah Beis is going to bring a different case. We'll explain as we go. Misha hayu peiros of megura, someone who has a ton of produce in a storehouse. V'nasan sa'al leven levi, and he gives a sa'al of that produce to a levi to eventually be considered meiser. And then usa'al ani, and also gives a sa'al to someone who's poor to eventually count as meiser ani. The problem is that the person hasn't yet identified which of the produce in the storehouse those gifts, the meiser and the meiser ani, is going to cover. Meaning, once you separate a sa'af for an ani, and a sa'af for the levi, so now technically you have eight sa'af produce in the storehouse that's now, you're now allowed to eat, meaning you've tithed eight sa'af from that storehouse. The problem is, you haven't identified which eight sa'af this is coming to cover. Imagine you walk into a store and you give $10 to the shopkeeper, but don't tell him what product you want to buy. You haven't decided yet. So that $10 doesn't really kick in until you've selected that which you're buying. It's not a perfect example, of course, but that's what goes on. You give this sa'af to the levi, you give to the sa'af to the ani, but But it's not considered meiser yet, and it's not considered meiser ani until you've identified which of the produce in your storehouse it's going to cover. Says the Mishnah, mafrish od shmonis an ve'ochlin. What you can do is you go back into the storehouse. At that point, you just identify, okay, you know what? It's going to cover these eight. I already gave it to the ani. I already gave it to the levi. Now, afterwards, I'm going and say it's going to cover these eight sa'ah. You remove the eight sa'ah, and you can eat them. Divrei Rebbe Meir. That's Rebbe Meir's opinion. Now, what's unsaid here, and what the Mefarshim point out, is what's the chiddush of Rebbe Meir? The chiddush is that in order for the truma to work, it needs to be extant, it needs to exist at the time in which you identify which of the produce it's covering. Meaning to say that once you separate, once or at the moment that you say it's covering these eight sa'ah, that the other produce needs to still exist. If the ani already ate it before you identified which produce it's covering, if the levi already ate it before you identify which produce it's covering, which produce it's tithing, then it doesn't work because it needs to exist at the same time in which you separated, which you identified which produce it's covering. So Rav Meir's chiddush here is that you're allowed to assume that they still exist, even though the ani walked away with the sa'ah, and the levi walked away with the sa'ah, and then only later he went to the storehouse and said, okay, these eight sa'ah, I'm going to eat these. Rav Meir says, that's okay. You can still assume that they are extant, that they exist, and therefore it works the mafreya, it works retroactively. The meiser becomes meiser the moment you identify which it's covering. The meiser ani becomes meiser ani, and you're allowed to eat your now tithed produce. The chacham omrim eino mafresh el lefi cheshbon. No, the chacham is saying you have to actually do research. You have to figure out what still exists. If the ani ate half of his, and the levi ate half of his, then you're only allowed to eat now four sa'ah from this storehouse, meaning you have to identify whatever is actually still existing, what's still extant at the time of the afrasha, and you're allowed to eat that amount. But you cannot just assume that it still exists. So you really have to go back and say, okay, what exists right now? And that will directly correlate to how much it really covers in the storehouse. That is Mishnah Beis. We'll continue with Mishnah Gimel tomorrow.